الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. In the sixth year after Hijra, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a dream that he is entering Makkah Mukarramah peacefully, without any fight, without any war. With peace, he is entering Makkah Mukarramah. And he and his Sahaba radiallahu anhum are making tawaf of Baytullah. After the Umrah, some of them shave their heads, some of them trim their hair. He also sees that he is entering the Kaaba and he is going to Arafah. When he relates his dream to Rasulullah, when he relates his dream to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they became extremely happy. Although the dream did not mention the exact time when it was going to happen, however, the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen this dream was a great glad tidings for them that inshallah they will be able to once again go to Makkah Mukarramah and see the Kaaba Sharif. Especially those Sahaba radiallahu anhum that grew up in Makkah Mukarramah, the attachment for Baytullah was very, very intense. So this dream now stirred up that desire and yearning within them to go to Baytullah and to spend time in the Haram of Makkah Mukarramah. They became restless because of this. And very shortly thereafter, on Monday, the 1st of Dhul-Qa'dah, in the 6th year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left with 1,400 Sahaba radiallahu anhum from Madinah Munawwara, accompanied by his respected wife, Sayyida Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs that weapons of war should not be taken along, because they were not going with any intention of war. So weapons of war should not be taken along. Yes, normal carry weapons, which was normal for them to carry their weapons, especially on a journey. So their swords, but would be within the sheath. That sword would be taken and no extra weapons. In this manner, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum leave Madinah Munawwara. They go to Dhul Hulayfa. Here, most of them enter into the state of Ihram, including Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the reasons for entering into state of Ihram from Dhul Hulayfa was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to give this message to the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah, that he had no intention of fighting whatsoever. The fact that he has donned the ihram, it is a sign that he is only coming with the purpose of umrah and he has no intention of fighting. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took along many sacrificial animals, many animals that will be sacrificed in the haram of Makkah Mukarramah. And here in Dhul Hulayfa, he marked all these animals. And he sent the animals with a sahabi by the name of Najiyah al-Aslami radiallahu an. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a sahabi who had newly accepted Islam, Busar bin Sufyan al-Khuzai. And some historians say Bishr bin Sufyan al-Khuzai radiallahu an. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chooses him because he was new in Islam, and people did not know yet that he was a Muslim. So he chooses him to go as his spy and gather information of what is going on in Makkah Mukarramah. When the Quraysh heard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's departure, they made mashura, they consulted, and they say that by no means we can allow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come into Makkah Mukarramah peacefully and perform umrah. Because if this message has to spread to the other Arab tribes, they will think that we have no strength left anymore, that we could not stop Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from entering Makkah Mukarramah. Therefore, we are not prepared, and we will do whatever it takes to stop him from entering Makkah Mukarramah. They prepared a huge army, and in front of the army, they sent 200 horsemen, under the leadership of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an, who was not yet a Muslim, to, they sent him ahead with these 200 horsemen to intercept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to stop the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached a place near Usfan, which was close to Makkah Mukarrama, his spy came, Busr bin Sufyan radiallahu anhu came and informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the preparations that the Quraysh have made. They have prepared a very huge army. They have asked the neighboring tribes, Arabs, to also join and assist them in this army to defend Makkah Mukarrama from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have taken out with them their women, their children, milking camels, and they are very well prepared to resist for a long time. And then he also informs him that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an has already reached Qura'ul Ghamim, which was quite close to Usfan, quite close to the spot where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laments at the plight of the Quraysh. He says, woe be to the Quraysh. War has already weakened them. They have lost so many lives because of war. They have fought me so many times. They have been greatly affected by war. What is there if they don't interfere with me? It would be better for them if they don't interfere with me. They leave me to the rest of the Arab tribes, that I will not fight with them and I will have peace with them, and then I could fight and I could deal with the rest of the Arab tribes. If I am defeated by the Arab tribes and if I am assassinated and I am killed, then that is what the Quraysh want. Their job would be done without them being affected even further. And if I am victorious, then at that point they can decide whether they want to join me or they want to fight me at that point. So this is the comment that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. And then he makes mashura with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. At this point, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu's statement appears in the narration, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا قَطُّ كَانَ أَكْثَرَ مُشَاوَرَةً لِأَصْحَابِهِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I did not find anyone that would make more mashura with his companions, that would consult more with his companions than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As per the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, that, O Nabi of Allah, you should consult the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Although there is a discussion among the ulama that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's consulting with Sahaba radiallahu anhum, was it only for the purpose of making them feel included? Because when he will consult with them, they would feel included in the matter, which is also an important aspect, that to include people, the relative parties, to include them in the matter and not to take a unilateral decision. So was it only to include them and make them feel nice, or was it to genuinely take the opinion? And most of the ulama of the opinion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mashura for the second reason, that to take the opinion of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to take the suggestion, and if that suggestion was correct, for him to implement that suggestion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would regularly consult with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this explains a very important lesson to us, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was divinely instructed, who was the Nabi of Allah, he would consult with Sahaba radiallahu anhum in those matters where there was no clear-cut divine instruction. He would consult with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. How much more important it is for us to make mashura and to consult before making our decisions. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam consults with Sahaba radiallahu anhum that what should we do now? Should we go and attack the families of those Arab tribes that have joined the Quraysh to assist them? So if we go to attack their families, those families will not have any security because the men have gone out. We can attack those families. They have waged war against us because they have joined the enemy against us. So we are at liberty to attack their families, and we can take their wives and children, their families as captives. And in this way, they will now have to come. They will have to leave the Quraysh and come to defend their places, and we will weaken the Quraysh in this way. Or should we continue towards Makkah Mukarrama, which was our intention? And if the Quraysh stop us and prevent us from going into Makkah Mukarrama, then we would fight against them. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, O Nabi of Allah, I feel that we should continue with our original intention. Our intention was not to fight. Our intention was to go to Makkah Mukarramah and to perform Umrah. We should continue. If anyone stops us, then we would fight against them. Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anh mentioned a very famous statement which he mentioned on the occasion of Badr. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam consulted with Sahaba radiallahu anhum regarding the caravan, regarding the army that now had come to fight against them. So at that time, Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anh mentioned those famous statements, which Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anh says that I am prepared to give the whole world in lieu of the statement of Miqdad radiallahu anh. Historians say that he mentioned these same statements on this occasion as well. لا نقول لك كما قالت بنو إسرائيل لموسى اذهب أنت وربك فإنا هنا قاعدون ولكننا نقاتل عن يمينك وعن شمالك ولكننا نقول اذهب أنت وربك فإنا معكما مقاتلون أو كما قال. He says that we will not respond to you like the Banu Israel had responded to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When he had asked the assistance to fight against the enemy, they said that you and your Rabb can go and fight. We are not going anywhere. We are sitting right here. Rather, our response would be that you and your Rabb go. We will be fighting together with you. So this was the answer that Miqdad radiallahu anh had given. By this time, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh was already quite close. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam took another path. He did not follow the normal road, because following the normal road would be that he would encounter Khalid bin Walid, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not want to encounter an army. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who could give him directions, and they went through some very rugged terrain, difficult terrain. They went through, and in that way they avoided Khalid bin Walid's army radiallahu anhu. By that time Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu now realized from far, he saw the dust of the army leaving, and he realized that the army had escaped him. So very, very quickly, he rushed to Makkah Mukarramah, or he rushed to the Quraysh. They had already left Makkah Mukarramah. So he rushed to the Quraysh, and he informed them that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's army has escaped him, and they are on their way to Makkah Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam now comes close to Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah is a place approximately 9 miles before Makkah Mukarramah. There is a water source there that is known as Hudaybiyah, and because of this water source, the whole area has been given the name Hudaybiyah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was descending to Hudaybiyah, his camel Qaswa sat down. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum tried to wake the camel up, saying hal hal, which was a word that was used to prod a camel or to wake a camel up. And then they go on to say khala'atil Qaswa. That Qaswa has become stubborn and it refuses to move. It is stubborn, it doesn't want to move forward. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Qaswa has not become stubborn. And this is not the nature of Qaswa to be stubborn. It is not within its nature to be stubborn, to not move when it's being instructed and commanded to move. Rather, habasaha habisul fil. That Allah who stopped the elephants of Abraha from coming to the Kaaba and did not allow them to proceed further, that same Allah has stopped Qaswa from moving further. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to move beyond this point. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Qaswa sit down and not move. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whatever they ask me, whatever demand they make, whatever request they make, the Quraysh make, as long as it is fiha ta'zeemu hurumatillah, that in that request of theirs or that demand of theirs, it is more in keeping with upholding the sanctity of the sacred places of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So things relating to the sanctity of the haram, if they made those kinds of demands to me, then I am going to accept every demand of theirs. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns the direction of Qaswa and he prods it, he makes it move, and then Qaswa continues to move. So this was very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go beyond this point. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to one corner of Hudaybiyah and he camps there. By that time the Quraysh had already come, the army had already come to Hudaybiyah, to the area of Hudaybiyah, and the water sources of Hudaybiyah, they had camped near the water sources of Hudaybiyah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam camped on one corner, and there was a well there which hardly had any water. It was nearly dried up, and by the time the Sahaba radiallahu anhu went there, and the first few Sahaba used the water, that the water was already finished. Now, Sahaba radiallahu anhu come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and complain of thirst, and they did not have water for wudu, etc. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam removes an arrow from his quiver, and he gives it to a Sahabi by the name of Najiyah radiallahu anhu, and then he asks him to bring a bucket of water from that well. So that bucket of water is brought. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes wudu with this water. He gargles, and then the leftover water in the mouth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spits it back into that water, into that bucket of water. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to Najiyah radiallahu anhu, take this bucket, pour the water at the bottom of the well, and thrust my arrow, and place my arrow at the bottom of this well. Najiyah radiallahu anhu says, when I went and did that, immediately the water began to gush out. Water began to gush out to such an extent that he had to hurriedly come out from the well. And the water rose right till the top of the well, to such an extent that there was no need for a bucket and a string to draw out the water. Rather, with their hands, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum could take out the water. This was a mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. During this journey, at one point, another mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which we had discussed regarding another battle, was when there was a shortage of water. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam placed his mubarak fingers and his mubarak hand into a utensil of water, and water, streams of water, began to gush from in between the mubarak fingers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that had also occurred during this journey at one point when there was shortage of water. Now, when they see this mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one sahabi by the name of Aus radiallahu anhu, he says to some of the munafiqeen that were there and that witnessed this miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, including Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the munafiqeen, he says to them, that is it not time for you to realize, what more do you want to see? So Abdullah bin Ubay, in his arrogance and his stubbornness, he says, I saw something like this before. This is not something unique, not something miraculous. I saw something like this before. He says to him, may Allah destroy you. قَبَّحَكَ اللَّهُ May Allah destroy you, may Allah destroy your face. That even this is not enough to make you realize the truth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thereafter, when Abdullah bin Ubay came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, when did you see something like this before? He says, no, I have not seen anything like this. And he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make istighfar on his behalf. Obviously, this was just for convenience. This was not with sincerity. Now, while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam settled here in Hudaybiyah, a person by the name of Budail bin Warqa al-Khuza'i, he came from the Banu Khuza'a tribe, who was not yet a Sahabi, was not yet a Muslim at that time. Later on, he accepted Islam and became a Sahabi, radiallahu anhu. So he came from the Banu Khuza'a tribe. And this Banu Khuza'a tribe enjoyed very close links to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Pre-Islam, they had allegiance to the Banu Hashim. And post-Islam, they continued with their relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And because they lived close to Makkah Mukarramah, they would constantly feed information to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the happenings in Makkah Mukarramah and the surroundings of Makkah Mukarramah. So although they were not Muslims at that time, they were very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they wished well for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he explained how the Quraysh have prepared so well to fight Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they have taken an oath that they will not allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to enter Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the same message, that where he lamented over the plight of the Quraysh. They have already been so weakened with war. Why do they want to fight against me? I have come only with the intention of performing Umrah. They should leave me to perform Umrah, allow me to perform Umrah, and they should leave me with the rest of the Arab tribes, and my fate will be decided with them. Thereafter, they can decide what they want to do. He goes to the Quraysh as they see him approaching, understanding and realizing, knowing the ties that he had with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say among themselves that this man has come to extract information from you on behalf of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't speak to him, don't give him one bit of information. When he comes, he says to them that I have come to inform you. I have come with a message from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The youngsters of the Quraysh, who were spirited, they say, we don't need your information. We don't want to even listen to what you have to say to us. However, those that were mature, the seniors, they asked him to proceed. He said, we can listen to this information. There's nothing wrong. We won't say anything, but we will get information from him. So thereafter, he informed them about the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, they were not interested in this message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, there were some other envoys that went as well. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.